So, Tim, before we start, do you want everyone to reintroduce themselves and their characters just for...
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Being the second, second go.
Yeah.
And I guess now that storyline matters.
Would you like to start? Yeah, now that storyline matters, definitely. No, clockwise.
And by the way, I reserve the right to pull out breaking the fourth wall anytime I don't feel like thinking.
All right.
Okay. Who's got the least amount of food in their mouth or beverage in their mouth at the moment? Okay, so Allison, you start with the intro.
Okay. I'm playing a catfolk male. His name's Cadvin, which, by the way, if you don't know, means battle raven. He has black fur, that's why he's raven. He's a ranger, devout of Desna.
Oh, never mind.
Grew up in a mountain tribe.
Alright, who else is not eating at this particular moment?
I guess we're going clockwise.
We're going by who has the least amount of food in their mouth.
Oh.
I'm a fighter named Basher, and I'm a human.
Do you bash?
Yes.
Oh. I like your name choice.
Yes. It's named after my baby.
And you're a silly elf with a magic shield. Is that right, Kaylin? And you jump all over the place, right? Okay.
The ninja.
What's your name?
April.
That's right. So I am Basil Carter, the thief with a aspiration to be a wizard of renown.
A wizard.
And house rules: when Basil casts a spell, he has to say pesto change up.
I'm going to disregard this rule.
Okay, next.
I'm a lone cleric named Marewyn. I'm a human.
Good.
I'm going to try to learn how to use some spells today.
Hopefully you'll have a chance.
I'm playing a gnome rogue, and he's basically just trying to pay off his... student loans with this summer intern program. Dungeoning.
You know what?
Dungeoning.
Give yourself 20 points, experience points, just for making us laugh.
What's his name, Fred?
Well, right now his name's Fred, but I...
How creative.
Deduct 20 points from luck.
But he is, after, this is how they get their names, is they have to go on this internship and make something out of themselves. And then he'll get a real name, I guess.
Oh, so you gotta earn it?
Good save.
Yeah.
Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah, no Gnomes by
Sherlock. That was good.
Is anyone... Fred, do you use archery?
I do.
Good. Okay, that's gonna be important to this. Okay, so... this particular map...
Cross art.
really is not... going to be functional. It's just to give an idea of the type of hot mess you guys are about to find yourselves in a couple of minutes. Now, this handmade map, its only purpose is to show that I'm really good at making maps. Okay.
It's
oh, thank you. I use colors.
I thought Kayla made it.
Well, she was my inspiration. I don't even know.
But I made it.
So,
differently.
Is everyone familiar with Dragonlance setting? Okay, good. Not enough people. So,
I just nod my head, even though I don't know.
No, that's okay. this type of campaign setting, really not much different than Lord of the Rings. Okay, magic is commonplace. Multiple religions are commonplace. You know, it's you know, having multiple races live amongst themselves is commonplace. Also, a lot of the stereotypes. You know, yeah, you might have an occasional elf or dwarf out venturing, but for the most part, the elves and the dwarves do stay to themselves. It's kind of like what a person would imagine just a basic D&D setting would be. It's all fun and games until you reach level 7 and then the stuff hits the fan. Okay, so... the... name of the campaign is The Woeful Tale of Zenister. It is a hot spring day in early June, and a stranger invites you to his place for an afternoon of gaming. It seems nice enough. Everyone brings food. The host offers everyone drinks, makes sure that everyone is comfortable, and sits everyone down. After brief introductions and small talk, the host sizes up the guests and says, "You will do fine, all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, the game is yours." He snaps his fingers.
Jumanji.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Okay. Before anybody can question him or respond, he snaps his fingers. Everyone's vision dims and the room spins. And it's not because of Tim's whiskey. You wake up sometime later, and it takes a few minutes for everyone to process, but soon you realize that this is not a game, it's an adventure. All of you find yourself dressed in new outfits. The fabric is made out of cotton and wool. It is warm, sturdy, yet they don't breathe, and they are itchy. You no longer have the convenience of modern-day undergarments either. Sorry. You are all now wearing leather boots that go partway up to your knees. Your cell phones are gone, as is anything that is remotely associated with the industrialized culture that you just left. You see your host, but he too is different. He is now wearing an elaborate set of full plate armor of platinum and gold. He is riding atop a giant light lion. Its barding matches its armor. The lion is over 30 hands tall at the shoulder, and his mane is glistening in the sun.
Somebody's fabulous.
This is the single most powerful and magnificent beast you have ever seen. He speaks in a thundering voice. "I am Torm, the god of justice and of protection. My people have cried out to me and I have heard them. The influence of Trilistel spreads like wildfire. I send you out as my champions. You will start in Zenister. Restore their hope. Rebuild their village, and I shall bless thee with a boon. Go forth, champions." Well, go on, go forth, go forth.
I look around.
Flip the page. Okay, you are now all in Zenister. Okay, and that map that Allison and Caitlin are hiding is just a good visual representation of it. Think of Ethiopia in the 1980s before We Are the World.
I remember it well.
Ew, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Before my time.
You can't go home. Not until Torm lets you. Never will you find a more desperate and impoverished village than Zenister. It is less of a village and more of a random collection of dilapidated huts. There are no roads, only worn out and rugged pathways. The smell of animal dung fills the air. The summers are brutally hot and the winters are deathly cold. Life is uncertain and the only thing that is promised here is death. Zenister is isolated, resting on the never-ending sweeps of the wild horses. Decades ago, these people were self-sustaining, training in horses and high-quality ceramic bricks. That time has passed. Only the oldest among them remember those days. The town has few features. A nearly exhausted well is in the center. Just to the north outside of Zenister is a large plot of scorched earth. Whether this is a holy spot meant for burnt items or funeral pyres is unclear. To the south lay mammoth ovens capable of burning bricks by the hundreds. Its coals have gone cold and is now home to various animals. Huts are made out of adobe and they have grass thatched roofs, each is in varying levels of despair. The squalor that they live in is an insult to human dignity. Infant mortality exceeds 50%, and often mothers die during child labor. The people of Zenister are sickly, underfed, and doomed to a life of crushing poverty, illness, and death. Louisiana. Okay, I'll stop.
In the 2019.
Yeah. Almost nothing grows save for cabbage, green onions, and the occasional berry plant. Years ago, the Duke's guards seized all weapons, including bows and arrows for hunting. The well has become stagnant and putrid. The nearest source of fresh water is over 3 days away. The main source of protein that can be trapped are field mice, an occasional fox or rabbit, or if one is particularly lucky, a pheasant. A typical meal usually includes cabbage or onion soup, and whatever meat may have been caught from that day, if any. Duke Marchand that rules the estate in the... The Duke Marchand rules has an estate 3 weeks to the east. His only interest in the village resolves around collecting taxes and young women. If the village fails to pay tribute, punishment is execution of every fifth person. They have long ago since taken the livestock and anything of value except the children. Often children are indentured into the Duke's service for what they claim to be 5 years in lieu of payment. Truth is, they never return. The women have come to accept that their babies are not their own. Rather, they consider themselves breeders, knowing that in a few years their children will be taken away from them. It is that, or they will die. The villagers claim that they cannot leave this area. They say that they have been cursed. There is no council of elders. There are no healers, inns, or shops. And as if they didn't have troubles enough, a new church growing in power called the Enforcers of Purity. The church is intolerant of any violation of what they deem to be moral or sacrilege. They employ the purifiers. These master huntsmen and keeper of their faith act with the authority of the church and carry letters of immunity. No government has authority to arrest, detain, or question them. The punishment for violators includes execution, mutilation, dismemberment. Their brutality is matched only by their creativity. There is no due process. There are no hearings. They do not need warrants or writs of authorization. If they choose to raid a home or a town in the middle of the night, seize anything of value, torture and execute everyone there, there is no legal mechanism to stop them. Boys and men may be conscripted to become eunuchs in the service of the church. Women of childbearing age are kidnapped and become servants to the church and her leaders, or worse, a reward to the purifiers for a job well done. The enforcers are authorized to hunt down and execute any arcane user or cleric that of any god that lay beyond their own, Tristal. Any book, scroll, or document that teaches of magic or of any other god is to be burned. Only those who have paid indulgences to the church may be exempted. Outsiders are mistrusted. The inhabitants have found that other races have not heard of other races. They do not know the difference between an elf, a troll, or a halfling. Other than the purity, there is no religion. They are ignorant and superstitious people. They are stubborn and resigned to their fate. Wonderful place. Who wants to set by a time show here? Somebody?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Is there anyone?
Good.
There?
10 objectives. Your first goal is to convince the villagers that you are there to help. Okay? You are to provide the following to the villagers. 500 pounds of preserved meat. It may be salted, smoked, or cured. You may purchase or acquire or hunt a fish for it. Number two, you must provide a reliable source of fresh water. Let me know if I'm going too fast, Allison.
Daddy.
Okay.
What?
Can I have a pencil?
Number three.
You have a pencil. Oh.
Provide seeds or plantings that are suitable for the local geography. Help break ground on a new farm. Provide the means and training to hunt and gather food. Rebuild and restore the brick ovens. Restore trade. Identify and remove the curse. Provide enough livestock to prepare a sustainable supply. And at least 6 horses, 3 male, 3 female, so they can start breeding and trading again. And finally, construct a suitable storage facility for food. Okay. Incidentally, I got the list in my notes.
That's like 13 things.
Yeah, but I can't count. There's a lot of ands. Okay.
Okay.
You only have
9?
But I don't have any words, I just have numbers, so I can write it down next to the numbers.
Okay. Alright, so, you find yourselves in the middle of the village. It is late evening. And remember, these people are doubtful and suspicious of everyone and everything that is out there.
And we just appeared out of nowhere.
You just appeared out of nowhere.
So we're all going to
die. That's fantastic.
Insurrection immediately.
And they're all people, right? They're all humans?
They're all humans. Okay.
They must breed a lot.